working with CU Ledger, you may have noticed we kind of disappeared for a while. In the fall, we went in and looked at all the research that had been done. Took a deep look at the huge amount of work and design, and realized that underneath it all, we had this plan to roll out a network. We still do. But underneath it all, we realized if we don't nail identity, we have a fundamental underpinning. It's like building a house with a poor foundation and bad footings. Things would be a little bit rocky and we'd never get it right. So we hunkered down and built out what we call, I'm calling a foundational layer for identity with two main pieces of focus. One is to make sure it's simple, fast, and secure for the member so it doesn't feel weird. We've had other people say, well, I can use Google Authenticator. I'm like, good luck with that one. I mean, I use it all the time, but most people don't like that kind of user experience. You'll see when I go through this that it's actually not wildly different than anything else you do on your phone. It's just dead simple. We also worked with a number of credit unions, some CUSOs, credit union service organizations, and some vendors, both on the business teams and on the technical teams. My goal being I wanted to make sure for developers it was dead easy to use as well. Actually, I got a little clicker here too. So let's jump over and give it a quick look here. We have we built out a contact center application. We work with many different groups. One of the credit unions we're working with is Suncoast. And we wanted to make sure we understood some of the complexities behind the scenes. We've got a lot of expertise in the credit union space, and one of the more complex and hairy places to operate is a contact center. Lots of different players, lots of different systems need to be touched. So we worked through a very basic sample application that goes through and reaches into a simulated core. In this case here, someone, me in this case, has just serviced with Mr. Rogers on this case. And I'm just going to use a test harness here to change over to a different person. So we have a Mr. Bond. Mr. Bond is not part of my CUID, so I need to talk to him, find out, is it really him when he's phoned in? You know, what's your mother's maiden name? What's the name of your first pet? What street did you live on? What was your public school? All these questions that problematically credit unions are about serving the members, not about interrogating members, not about making them forget what their favorite color was, because I always do. I can't remember if it was red or blue. What did I answer that day? This process is known to be very, very high friction and problematic, and the fraudsters are faster at answering those questions than we are. So we looked at this process. So imagine I've gone through the process. I now know it is Mr. Bond. I say, hey, listen, I'm sorry, sir. I don't want to have to do that to you again. I'm going to enroll you in CU Ledger. What's happening right now, it's gone into the core, found out, okay, we know my phone number. I've now, apparently I got it ready. It's gotten ahead of me. It's establishing a crypto connection. So this is a peer-to-peer connection. I'll talk a little bit later, but this phone went in through the public entrance to the credit union and said, apparently I'm establishing a connection. You told me to hand you this token. We've now got a completely private connection that it's establishing, basically saying, I want to connect this version of Mr. Bond at the credit union with me on this side. So now that I'm connected, we've got a private connection. Think of it like a little VPN, just for myself, well, Mr. Bond in this case, and the credit union. Every time I want to connect, I'm going to talk through that same channel. What's happening right now is I've now got a credential offer saying, here's a credential from the credit union that I'm going to accept. This means that the credit union has proved for a couple things here. If I've accepted that, that's all done. At this point in time, I now have a credential that was issued by the credit union. It's being held by me, the member. Well, I'm not Mr. Bond, but you get the idea. So now that I've done this, though, I've got an authenticated member. So now imagine I phone in. Okay, so Mr. Bond phones in again. Instead of having to go through 60 seconds of kind of a nightmare set of questions, I just simply say, the member, so the MSR says, I'd like to certify this as you. I say, yep, I'm good with that. This will come in and just pop up and say, authenticated. So now we're done. That's right now taking, we've already taken this down from, it was anywhere between 40 seconds, this is the engineering side, took it down to about 12 seconds. The goal we have, which will hit this quarter, is somewhere between 0.75 and 1.25 seconds to get that whole authenticate call done. So it can effectively happen immediately when you dial. I can actually hit that before you even talk to the service rep. So let me give it back to our deck. Explain what you just saw. So if you were to write this, so one of our partners is Evernim and the Sovereign Foundation. We're based on the Sovereign Network. If you were to try to write this right now, I've seen, I don't know how many developers go through this, it takes multiple weeks to spin up to understand what's going on. The best of developers get a little bit frazzled. What we've done is dumbed it down to two calls. Onboard, you go and assemble your information from the core. This is the member's name, this is the credit union name. That's really all we really need. You might want to add member SIN, so if I'm browsing through my credentials, I see that it's mine, and oh, member since I've been a member for 12 years. This is great. And then I have later on, I have authenticate. This means I can quickly just develop, and as I mentioned, we had a relatively large vendor this week drop into Docker Contender around lunch. By 3 p.m., they had already done an onboard, and we're hitting authenticate on a regular basis. So what happened was the data was got from the core. We sign it. The credit union signs it. CLedger doesn't. The credit union signs this, passes the information through CLedger. It comes across a secure channel that's 100% unique, as I mentioned, between the credit union and the member. It's also private. It's not on ledger anywhere. The credential you're seeing is not on ledger anywhere. They then have this credential that is really the digital equivalent of something in their wallet. It feels the same. It operates the same. They're in control. They can say, I want to see your ID. No. They don't have to. It's their choice if they want the service, of course. They would want to. And when we did the authentication, to be crystal clear, they have to prove that they still control the phone. So if my phone is locked, I have to biometrically open it. We can do a 6-digit password if you really want to, but there's Face ID, Touch ID. Again, the blockchain was only used to store the public information for the credit union. I'll explain why that is. Nothing else was there. The rest is completely private between the credit union and the member. So what happens is this. We have public information. We want to know that the issuer of the credit union did sign the credential that I was holding. That's the important part. The credit union issues that to me. I put it in my wallet. I have it later. And yes, in this case, the verifier is the credit union again. But it's a different division of the credit union. The call center, you walk into a branch, you use mobile, you use web. These are different divisions. You have a different verifier. And when we take my CUID credential from DCU, carry it out into the community, and a car dealer recognizes it, what they do, they want to know two things. One, prove you control this thing, that's private, and prove that DCU signed it. That's all we need now, as opposed to massive PKI and having to know root certificates and all this craziness. Well, talk about where it works as well, because right now, Jeff Johnson at BCU had a real great statement. He says, what he's really looking for is a credential that I can hand, I'm from DCU, I want to hand a credential, I want to use it across all of my channels, regardless of whether I call in, I walk in, or I'm logging in. I want to use the same thing, not any number of usernames and passwords. I just want to tell you what's happening now. So I've talked to you about the authentication across channel. So we're working with credit unions, some QSOs, and some vendors to integrate this in and start building it in small, tiny use cases. A lot of these use cases, though, because it's identity-based, are cross-cutting. They're coming right across the whole organization. Next, we're working on more interactive authorization. Imagine if I'm doing a wire transfer and I want a confirmation that's in, or put a note in to say, yes, I authorize this wire transfer, or no, I don't, and I've never seen it before. Now the credit union can have a crypto-signed piece as opposed to, yeah, we're pretty sure they hit yes, but we don't have any correlation between what question we asked when they hit a yes. This gives us a lot better compliance. And Julie, I'd like to give it back to you. Thank you very much.